listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Our gospel reading tonight covers one of those passages that can never be preached too many times. The greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We do know that one. It's one of the platinum hits for a reason. That said, the downside of a smash hit is that it gets so much airtime year after year, or in this case, century after century, that you can lose your ear for it. So much so that sometimes the only thing that can really make an old hit new is context. Something in the music or the words or the way the artist spins the line, it strikes you fresh because of where and how and with whom you hear the song, or something that happened yesterday morning, or what's in the headlines this week, or who you've recently become. Who I've recently become, I forget sometimes how recent it is. My oldest child has been on the planet for just 3 years. Who I've recently become as a mother. And on my best days, I really get how the greatest commandment applies to my situation. And meditating on it truly expands my perspective, my compassion, my humility. It attunes me to areas where my character needs developing ASAP. On my best days, I contemplate the knowledge that I am called to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength by loving my kids in that way. And they do demand all of that. On my best days, when I'm listening well, I notice Jesus using my experiences to instruct my empathy so that I can better love my neighbor as myself. I think about how long it takes me to get myself and two tiny people out the door in whatever weather, and how brutal it is to walk two children all the way across town to the post office, only to realize I forgot my ever-loving mail key. And on good days, I then think about how hard it must be for my brothers and sisters with complex disabilities, physical or mental, to get out the door, complete basic errands. How devastating it must be when small things go wrong, or worse, when silly hurdles are placed in their way. Getting around town with a stroller attunes me to physical accessibility of buildings and neighborhoods and ice. It attunes me to ice. I think then about the fact that I have choices. Stroller, ditch the wheels, use a baby carrier, maybe I forget both and I leave the kids with dad for 10 minutes while I do what I can do much more easily myself with my quick stride and my good balance. Or maybe I take the car. Most of the time I'm spoiled for choice, even if it doesn't always feel that way. And I know that many of my neighbors do not have those same choices. But on weaker days, I really lose my grip on the applied greatest commandment. It's played as a joke, but in some painful ways it's true. I am not the same me that packed my lunch this morning. 7 a.m. me was excited about veggies and good habits, and 2 p.m. me has had to recommit her life to the Lord 3 times today. I don't know if you've seen or perhaps heard about the recent film Women Talking, but the director Sarah Polley did an interview about it in which she was asked if it was difficult coming back from a long sort of period away from her career raising her family to do this huge ensemble piece, lots and lots of characters, so many moving pieces to manage. And in the interview she says, no, it wasn't, because everybody I was working with had a fully functioning frontal lobe. And again, it's really funny, except as far as it's really sad. On weaker days, I am not good at seeing Christ in my toddler, treating him as Christ, mothering him in a Christ-like way. On weaker days, I lack every fruit of the Spirit: joy, peace, patience, let's say that one again, kindness, gentleness, generosity. For faithfulness, you could say consistency. And especially bad when you're the grown-up, self-control. all pretty sparse on the ground. On weaker days, I do not respect the authenticity nor the sacredness of my son's imperfect, unfinished condition. And indeed, that's when I fail to see how much we are the same. That I, too, am deeply, exasperatingly imperfect and unfinished. Still developing, myopic in my perspective, and trying really, really, really hard. That's when I lose track of the fact that God is for all of us, great and small, very young, very old, somewhere in between, the author and finisher of our faith and our character. And if I struggle to keep hold of this reality with my own child, how much weaker might be my compassion for other people? Adult people trying to do life with the same types of poorly understood, frequently disregarded or disrespected, yet legitimate limitations. Woe betide. If you were a psychologist or even a student beginning studies in psychology, you might be starting to sense in my picture of Beth's bad days a whole lot of something called fundamental attribution error. That's a cognitive bias where, in looking at others, we chalk failings up to their character, their themness. When we look at ourselves, we chalk failings up to circumstantial or environmental factors. An example, Emily was late to the meeting because she's bad at time management. I was late to the meeting because my life is really, really, really crazy. Or another example, I have been rough with my toddler today because I haven't slept well this week and I have a cold and he's not listening to me when I try to speak to him. But my toddler is being rough with the cat today because he lacks basic self-control. Conversely, when we feel we don't measure up to others, we may look for ways to attribute their strengths or successes to circumstance so that we don't have to feel insecure about our own character or personal makeup or discipleship. At the beginning of this sermon, I spoke about how context can make an old passage new. The particular spot in motherhood where I am made tonight's gospel fresh to me in humbling ways. But another contextual factor was our reading from Philippians earlier this month, the passage that Chris preached for us. In that passage, Paul exhorts the church at Philippi, "Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves." That fragment there, regard others as better than yourselves. In reading over our text for this evening, I was suddenly struck afresh by a sense of the relationship between these two exhortations. Love others as yourself. Regard others as better than yourselves. They sound rather different, but I think these two fit together in the sense that if I am to treat others, all others, as I want to be treated, love them as I would love Christ, I have to afford others as much benefit of the doubt as I would like to be afforded. I have to assume they are doing as well or better under their own personal circumstances than I would do under the same, my three-nager included. Now, I honestly hope a little that this sermon has bored you to death. I hope this is old hat for everyone listening and that you're all doing just fine at this stuff in the areas where it applies to you, regardless of age or family status or any of that. But I stand by what I said about this being a passage that can't be preached too many times. After all, life in Christ, is not about learning many things, but about learning a few things many, many times, I repeat to myself, taking deep breaths. May we all be so blessed as to find others near willing to remind us that we are all works in progress. After all, why did the Pharisees call the Messiah son of David? You didn't think I was going to get back to that. I did. Could it be, perhaps, less for the fact that he would be a great king of Israel, and more for the way he would model afresh what it is to be a person in constant pursuit of the Father's heart? Could it have been for the way Christ would complete and perfect David's fallen plot arc, just as he completed and perfected Adam's? Let us hang on the hope and invite God's finishing work afresh. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.